Well, hello everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who's joining us here for another Happy Hour with Dr. T special event. Each week we get together with amazing guests and have conversations to inspire you and help you grow in your walk with the Lord. Those are posted at Happy Hour with Dr. T on 11 a.m. Eastern Time at all the places that we broadcast. On Thursday nights, Happy Hour with Dr. T hosts special events, and they are in a series of for deeper Bible study and learning. And over the past 3 years, we've completed deeper learning with pastors Brad Cummings, Doug Van Dorn, and Mike Spaulding, and others. And we've also done deep dives with authors Justin Prock, Doug Woodward, Derek Gilbert, and L.A. Marzulli. The feedback that we've gotten has just been great, and we plan to continue these special events throughout 2025 for deeper learning and for bringing you information that you may not hear or learn in other places. This has been a four-part series, and sadly, this is the last night of our four-part series on the signs of Jonah. If you missed part one, two, or three, go to drtenpenny.com, hover over the education tab, and look for Bible series. There you'll find the last three recordings that we've done. That you should go back and listen to them again. There was so much information packed in there that you may want to listen again. And you know where to find it. Where in perpetuity, it'll be there for you to be able to watch it. Remember that the signs of heaven look deeper into the messages that God have written across the skies for us for thousands of years, telling a story from long ago as a reflection of today's times. And by studying the book, The Signs of Jonah, we are taking a deeper dive into understanding what these eclipses mean and what it means in terms of past and current events. But before I welcome back the author of this series, who's been with us now, this is the fourth week, and we're going to take a really quick break. This series has been fascinating, and you won't want to miss this final part. We'll be right back.
Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant, you can take it when you're nursing, you can give it to little children, you can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water, because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out. The heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years.
Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Ender E. Law is a student of Bible prophecy and scholarly research. He holds degrees in engineering and an MBA and has worked for more than 30 years in the high-tech industry. His biblical studies include working towards a certificate of biblical studies. He's also been a small group leader and a former worship leader at his church. Ender E. Law is the author of three books that we've discussed throughout this series, and he's got another one that's in the works right now. The book that we are studying and going through deeply is this book, and you'll see it on the PowerPoint that he's going to use to talk to us, The Signs of Jonah, which is available at Amazon, and you can also find all of his writings, all of his videos, all the things that he's done by his extensive, well-laid-out Substack, which can be found at Ephesians 6:10.substack.com. Ephesians 6:10.substack.com. Ender E. Law is a husband, a father, and a really true child of God. He writes under this name as Ender E. Law as a pseudonym. Ender, thank you so much for coming back in this four-part series. I'm sad that this is going to be the last in our series. Can you give us just a really brief overview of what we've covered so far? So in case people haven't watched it, that they'll know the reason why they need to go back and look at the interviews in detail.
Definitely. Thank you, Dr. Tenpenny. So This is part four. We're going to focus on which generation. We'll review parts one, two, three. And part four is around what is the prophetic year? We'll be talking about the parable of the unclean spirit and the fig tree generation, and then looking at Jonah's sermon a bit more. So in the review, basically, we discussed the modern day astrology or horoscopes and the constellations that are in the sky. Many of us open the paper and we think astrology, we want to stay away from it. That's something we are taught not to dive into. Well, what we're doing here is not astrology. We're looking at them as God's creation. Hebrew for constellations is Maseroth. God brought forth the Maseroth. He is unveiling and revealing signs and seasons through the Maseroth to determine not our personal fate, but the fate of God's creation, the world, the earth, all people. So we are seeing that over and over, and we covered the three solar eclipses and the Revelation 12 sign that's in the previous recordings. We looked at the Maseroth signs that are highlighted by the three solar eclipses. We also looked at the towns and cities that seem to allude to the story of Jonah. We have Nineveh, Jonah, Joppa. We also have Jerusalem, or Salem, the ancient name of Jerusalem. And we have large crosses that are crossed by these three solar eclipses. We also calculated the probability and looked at the conservative as the probability of a solar eclipse, which is 1/100, three of them together, which is very unique. That's about 1 in 1,000,000. And then combine that with the probability of highlighting Regulus, which is in Leo, Spica, which is in Virgo, and the cord. And so when you come down to combining those probabilities, it meets the definition of an impossible event, which is probability of zero. And so that should shed some light on the weight of these signs that just occurred. And so in my next section, I'd like to tie it to the global events that were before us. And I've tried to do this as a small group leader looking at Revelation 12 and 13. There are many interpretations of Revelation. For at the highest level, there's amillennialism, which believes that Revelation is just symbolic and idealistic. There's preterists that believe that Revelation occurred already. It was during the time of Jesus, shortly after that, and the destruction of the temple. There's postmillennialists that believe it's going to keep continuing, and then there's premillennialists that believe more of a literal translation of Revelation. So I was leading or studying this from a literal perspective, and literally this in Revelation 12, we've covered this multiple times. You have the September 23rd, 2017 sign. A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, the moon at her under her feet, and you have that occurred on this date. And on her head, a crown of 12 stars. There's 9 stars in Leo with 4 stars, I'm sorry, 3 stars, Mercury, Mars, and Venus aligning with Regulus, total of 12. Jupiter was in retrograde motion, which means it was spiraling here for 9 months. And then she gave birth on September 23rd. Looking back on this sign, we can now use this as a corner post, because as you read Revelation 12, further down, there's a verse that says, this woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God, in which she is nourished for 1260 days. So I've always seen that date, and I was scratching my head saying, why would Apostle John, inspired through Jesus, write such a precise number, right? What is the relevance of this number? And then in verse 14, but the woman was given two wings of the great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. Now, I'm not going to get into the eagle, but I do in my Substack write about the eagle. There is a constellation Aquila, which is the eagle in the Maseroth. But I'm going to focus in on these time measurements, time, times, and half a time. Have you heard of that before?
I have not.
Have not? Okay, so good. I'm going to try to define it. And, you know, I tried to take this from a Gregorian calendar perspective, 365 days in a year. I try to look at the months, but our months vary tremendously. 28 days, February, all the way up to 31 days. It's all over the map, right? So in the ancient world perspective, the prophetic year was much simpler. And you can derive this from the story of Noah, Genesis 7, 11. The flood began on the 17th day of the second month. The flood lasted for 150 days. The ark rested on the 17th day of the seventh month. So using algebra, you can see that 150 days is 5 times 30. So you can calculate that the month, and I have a timeline there, M2, M3, M4, M5, M6 stands for month. So you're dealing with 5 months of 30 days. If you multiply the 30-day month by 12, that's 360 days. So scholars have looked at the Noah prophetic month as 360 days. And a month is 30 days. So I thought, that's interesting. Let's look at this a little closer. Using a 30-day month, 1,260 days, divided by 30 is 42 months. We're going to bookmark that number 42. That'll come up in Revelation 13. So 360 days in a prophetic year, 1260 days divided by 360 is 3.5. 3.5 times. So time is used here as the prophetic year of 360 days. So time times and half a time is 1 year plus 2 years plus 0.5 years, or 360 times 3.5, which is 1,260 days. That's where time times and half a time comes from. That's what most scholars that I could find equate that to. Now, let's use the September 23rd, 2017 anchoring point. We have a sign, a great sign in heaven described in Revelation 12. We have a date where we believe it happened. Or was it just a coincidence? In the covenant signs, I found that the same pattern, the Virgo-Leo pattern, happens over and over. There's alignments that happen during the flood, during creation, during the birth of Jesus Christ, and then during September 23rd, 2017. So it added weight to the significance of this sign. So then adding 1,260 days to this date, and there's tools online where you can do that through a date calculator. I think in the book I cite the website, but you add 1,260 days to it, and it brings us to 3/6/2021. And I saw that there was a great spiritual force, an evil force occurring during this time, which seemed to allude to a global entity and the World Health Organization. So I went to their website and looked at press releases that was occurring. And on 3/5/2021, they marked this as an unprecedented milestone where they were able to launch 35 million doses of the vaccine to 51 countries. And so this is on 3/5/2021. And on 9/23 to 3/6, the day after, It maps to 1260 days or time times and half a time.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Now we also have the announcement on 3/11/2020. That's when WHO declared COVID-19 a global pandemic. So that's when it all started, right? Well, if you look at the Maseroth, and this is working in the Four Horsemen. Saturn, Jupiter, Mars are in alignment in Sagittarius, as you can see, with this star called Nunki. And Nunki, I was researching recently, means the Prince of the Earth. Now we know Prince of the Earth is also the ruler of the world. It is Satan. So this dual natured constellation of Sagittarius, you have the man as a torso, a horse body. Some people have said that it's a positive sign, a conquering sign, but I think it is more of a negative force here, predominantly because if you look at the picture of Sagittarius, it's holding a bow, and at the foot is Corona Australis, which is a crown. So we've got a bow and a crown. If my mouse could work here, but you can see that right in the middle of the screen. A bow is toxon in Greek, and crown is Stephanos, which is a laurel wreath, Stephanos. That Stephanos is the same Stephanos we see around the United Nations logo as well as the World Health Organization logo. And then the bow is Greek for toxon, which is toxicon pharmakon, which is a, they would put poison on arrows in the ancient days, toxicon pharmakon. So the first horseman, the white horse with a bow and a crown, seems to relate to correlate with the first horseman in Revelation 6. Then in Revelation 6, it talks about the second horseman, which is the red horse, the war. It allows people to kill each other. And it's carrying a large sword, which in Greek is Machaira, which is a short machete. It's like a curved sword. And as you can see to the right, you have Scorpius, which has the heart of the scorpion, which is Antares. It's a red star. It's confused with with Mars. Anti-Aries is anti-Mars. Mars is associated with war. The scorpion is also a negative constellation, and it's carrying a stinger, a deadly stinger with toxin on it, and it's shaped like a Machaira, a great sword. To its right, near the edge of the screen on the right, is the third horseman. It's a black horse. It's carrying scales, and Libra is scales. The star names are interpreted as you've been weighed and found wanting. When you read the scripture of Revelation 6, it's talking about a supply chain, barley and wheat shortage. We see that in the Ukraine. And now we have egg shortages in the United States, right? So they've been destroying all the chicken farms and shipping. I hear we're shipping in 15 tons of eggs from Turkey now. So it's crazy. Everyone should get their chicken homesteads going. The three constellations here seem to align with the first three horsemen. Now, the horseman of death, which is followed by Hades, isn't to the right that I can tell, because to the right of that is Virgo. Virgo, we know, is more related to the seed of woman, the woman. But following Sagittarius to the left is Capricorn. And we talked about Capricorn earlier in the third presentation as being associated with a scapegoat, which is sent out into the desert to die. And so it is a pale green, and in Greek it's chloros, which I've associated with this whole push for zero carbon footprint climate change. But that's death, and that's Hades, and the goat is sent out to the desert to die. So I believe this sign here, March 11th, 2020, associated with the first horseman, is significant, and I put that into the timeline above. Following that, on 2020, I'm sorry, 12/20. So that's December 20th, 2020. There was a great conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter right in front of Capricorn. All the press, the mainstream media said that's the Christmas star. Go out and try to see it, which we did try to see it. And I believe it was cloudy that day. I remember clearly I could not get a good view of it. But that was the same day that Israel became the world's laboratory and launched the inoculations. And then subsequently, within three months or so, we saw number of deaths increasing, sudden deaths, right? So Capricorn represents death, and then there's another alignment on 3/5/2021 with Jupiter, Mercury, and Saturn in Capricorn representing death again, as these bioweapons were rolled out. So a sobering set of timelines in Revelation 12. In Revelation 13:5, the beast of the sea rises. We've talked about the beast of the sea, the Leviathan, Cetus. We've talked about the heads, the seven heads. And then the beast of the earth, the dragon, gives its authority to the beast of the sea, and all the world worships it. The authority is given for 42 months. And we had earlier calculated 42 months, which is equivalent to 1260 days. If we read the following verse, it also says, "And authority was given it over tribe and people and language and nation, and all who dwell on earth will worship it." So if you, I've watched some of the online filming of World Health Organization events when every country, every nation has an opportunity to speak from their seat to the director general. And they're basically saying, okay, we've got this many that shots that rolled out, we've done this, we've done that. And they're all giving tribute or complying with the mandates of the World Health Organization. It almost seemed ritualistic, and it seemed very dark, right? And
Very
so
dark.
very
It
dark,
was
yes.
very dark.
Exactly. And so this verse seemed to fit that image as well. And I wanted to elaborate on the word worship. Now, worship is I think in English, we see it in the Bible, it's worship. And we you have to look at it in Greek. In Greek, I've highlighted here Strong's Concordance 4352, which is preskinesan or preskineo. And preskineo is a very graphic definition that we can all identify with, Dr. Tenpenny. It's to kiss, like a dog licking his master's hand. To fawn or crouch, prostrate oneself in homage. Proskuneo, in using the image of a dog licking a master's hand, is almost obedience, right? It's showing obedience to a superior. It's almost the word compliance, right? So many times we get this confused with in Acts, and I didn't include this here, but I do on my Substack. I just posted an article on Substack, which analyzes the word worship used by Luke, and it's latreia, and latreia means the servitude and worship. It's a stronger worship that we picture, like when we worship God in church. And we worship him through things we do to help people, right? It's a very different worship than here, where you're just complying with a superior. You're showing obedience. And so God is making sure that he doesn't want us to conform with the world. He doesn't, I mean, the takeaway here is do not think that you're not worshiping the beast when you're just complying, right?
That's very good.
It, it,
Very,
it,
very
it's
good. It's something
It
I tried to
it's very
tell
strong.
people all during 21 and 22 is, the spirit of fear has throttled you. It's grabbed you by the throat. And instead of taking that spirit of fear and taking it to the Lord and laying it at the foot of the cross and saying, please, God, exercise this spirit of fear out of my body. You say in your word more than 300 times, fear not. And I've always said that if God bothered to repeat himself that many times, it must be important. But instead, people complied and bowed a knee to the pharmaceutical industry, to the World Health Organization, to their boss because their boss said so, or from their own selfish need to, I gotta travel, I got the tickets to go on a cruise. Compliance is about is you've pointed out, compliance is bowing a knee in obedience, isn't it?
Yes, it's proskuneo. It's obeisance is another way of saying it, or licking the master's hand. When I saw that definition right there, to kiss, to lick a master's hand, right? It's powerful. It's a powerful image, and many people did.
And I tell people that, if you were pressured or for whatever reason, and there can be reasons as long as both arms, that you went ahead or complied with or went in and got this COVID jab, this bioweapon into your injected into your temple, please confess that to the Lord that you made a bad decision.
Amen.
Just confess that you made a bad decision. And he'll forgive it, because he forgives everything. But you have to confess it and kind of fess up to it. Say, I made a bad choice, and my body is suffering now. And the Lord may heal you from that, or he may not. But at
Right.
least your soul is healed with the Lord.
Right. It's repentance is just going to God and saying, "Hey, I made a mistake."
I messed up. I made a bad decision here.
Yeah. Oh, you're muted.
Whether you thought it was social norms with doing the right thing for the neighborhood or for the right thing for other people or for your ch grandchild to see your grandchildren or to travel or to keep your job or to keep feeding, whatever reason that you chose poorly, admit that you chose poorly and ask God to forgive you and clean it up. And sometimes he will, and sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes you have to suffer the consequences of that choice, even though you've been forgiven for that choice.
And we won't get into the scripture where it talks about pharmakia, but pharmakia is sorcery.
Right.
And it says people were deceived by the sorcery.
Yes.
And pharmakia is basically giving of drugs in Greek. So yeah, as we dig into the scripture, things line up. And what I'm showing here is I referred to 42 months. So if we take 42 months, that's 12 times 30. Is that correct? 42 months. I'm going to just go back and reference that real quick. Sorry for the 1260 days divided by 30 equals 42 months. So it's all a similar time frame measure. 1260 days is equivalent to 42 months, and time times and half a time is also 42 months or 1260 days. So in the Revelation 13 chapter, the beast is allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. And so we can now bring up this time frame. 3/5/2021 is when COVAX launched 35 million doses of vaccine to 51 countries. We saw the WHO gain authority through this time frame. They are manufacturing through the big pharma and launching their program to distribute the bioweapon throughout the world. And then if you measure out 42 months, it matches up with the first meeting of the IHR emergency regarding mpox, monkeypox. But by that time, as I read all the press releases, they were saying, well, it's not really in all countries, but we got to be prepared. So let's get the vaccines out there, right? And at this time, countries were already thinking about pulling out. They were, so the WHO was losing its authority. And then 5 months later, the United States withdraws from the WHO.
And interestingly enough, other countries are withdrawing from the WHO too. Argentina
Exactly.
withdrew, and Italy's talking about withdrawing, and I think Poland. I'm not sure about that for sure. I know that they were talking about it, but people are saying, you are a bunch of unelected, self-appointed bureaucrats that wreaked havoc and death and destruction, like the plague of death. It reminded me of the Passover, the 10th. The 10th plague during the Passover, the when the spirit of death took out the firstborn of every man, every animal, everything on those during the Passover. It's like the spirit of death came in and just killed everything. And I visualized that. I could see that when all of these rollout of all of these jabs were being rolled out, even into tiny little island countries that had no possible way of being exposed to anything, they had to get these jabs.
Right.
It was this just this whole spirit of death and destruction that went across the planet.
Exactly. And the symbolism here, I'm showing the World Health Organization logo. We had Sagittarius with a bow and a crown. So the crown is the Stephanos, and the rod of Asclepius is here. Some people think that's the rod and Moses had the serpent on, but when I researched it, the World Health Organization themselves describe it as the rod of Asclepius. Asclepius, are you familiar with Asclepius by
I am,
chance?
but go ahead and tell people what that
So
is.
yes, Asclepius was a Greek god, and he used snake venom for curing people. He had a symbol of a serpent, and it was around Ephesians, Ephesus, I'm sorry. That his temple was. So Apostle John was very familiar with Asclepius and the rod of Asclepius. So that's the symbol that's on the World Health Organization. Ophiuchus, which is also Asclepius, is the man standing over Scorpius when you're looking at the constellation. And he's wrestling a snake as well, serpents. So when we took take the Revelation 12 timeline and connect it to the Revelation 13 timeline, now you've got the time times and half a time, 1260 days. You've got the 42 months, and you can see it maps very closely with nearly to a day, the World Health Organization, the beast rising, the beast having authority, and then the authority being removed, global authority being removed. And hopefully, what comes next as you read through Revelation 14 and 15 is Babylon falls. So, are we seeing parts of that today? I mean, I do think we're seeing a structure, a world government structure being dismantled.
Well, that's an interesting thought I hadn't thought of before, is Babylon being an entire world global system that will fall. That's
I
interesting.
think so, yeah. I think, we think of it as, okay, Babel as going back to the Old Testament. There's the Tower of Babel, which was a world government under Nimrod, right? And then God wasn't happy with it and broke it up and said, go separate out under the 70 nations and be fruitful and multiply, but within your 70 nations, I will take on Israel and then grow that under his authority. But then Jesus came and Jesus said, okay, all nations can be grafted in. So I think the World Health Organization, the UN, the World Economic Forum, the the people pulling the strings above them are all part of this Babylon system. And the money that they were pulling through corrupt organizations as well, through what we're seeing now. So let's align back to signs of Jonah and watching the time here. We've got three solar eclipses that envelope this time frame. So these are the signs that we've been studying in the last three lectures. But the question is which generation? And I want to quickly go through this. There is a fig tree generation scholarly research that says that when the fig tree becomes tender and puts out leaves, you will see that I'm at the gate. Truly, I say this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. So the belief is that the fig tree represents Israel becoming a nation. And a generation, there's scripture saying it's either 70 to 80 years old. I did not include that here, but it's in the book on the generation. So if we take, when did the Israel War of Independence begin? That was 1947. It became a nation in 1948. 70 years from there was 2017. Same year as the Revelation 12 sign, and the same year as the first solar eclipse. 80 years puts us out to 2027. And I've noted out there, I'm hinting on the future slides, there is another solar eclipse in 2027. It's not over the United States, but I'll show you that one. And it's in Cancer. And we've learned that Cancer used to be a sheepfold. It was more showing protection. So we've got a generational high watch period. So watchmen say this is a high watch period, 70 to 80 years, this 10-year period. We should be watchful for signs and world events. But let's go back to Matthew, and he talks about an evil and adulterous generation. Now, some people have interpreted that as the generation that crucified Christ. But then it says here, the men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. The queen of the south, the queen, I believe the queen of Sheba, will rise up at judgment with this generation and condemn it. So they're referring to judgment, and they're referring to a generation that will be condemned, that is so evil and adulterous. I think I realized here, and this was in discussion with my wife as she's challenging me, saying, "Are you sure it's the generation, the end time generation?" And as I expanded out, removing the verses and the chapters, doing more of an inductive study on this story, the sign of Jonah, there is a parable, the return of an unclean spirit. And it talks about a spirit whose house is empty and put in order, but the spirit brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself to dwell in that house. And it says, so also will it be with this evil generation. So I believe this generation is connected to the previous verse. He's trying to connect the two. He's trying to say this evil and adulterous generation will experience possession of demonic spirits so difficult to get out. It's like a turbo cancer or a parasite that keeps coming back, right? And in the gospel, he's casting out demons all the time with the apostles. But in the end times, there's going to be a period where it is just so difficult to cast out these spirits, right? That he's going to have to cut the time short and come back. And that's also talked about as well in the book. So I also wanted to refer to the last days scripture here in Acts 2:17, highlighting, and in the last days it shall be, people will come forth and prophesy, show wonders in the heavens above, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. We've seen the sun turn to darkness three times. We've seen them. We're going to see the moon in March. At the airing of this, it'll be after the one in North and South America. But there's another one here coming up in September 2025. And I'm going to quickly show this correlation. In Revelation 21:6, it says, "And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the life, spring of the water of life without payment.'" And when I saw that, I was like, wow, you've got a lunar eclipse, a blood moon covering all the other continents, the nation states. And it's an Aquarius, representative of the water of life.
Wow.
So you've got an Aleph and a Tav, Alpha and Omega, in the United States, North America. You've got a water of life and sign in the blood moon in 2025. But we have another Omega. We have another Tav. And it's 2027 and 2034. It's crossing the Red Sea near Egypt. And if you think about it, this is where Moses conquered through the 10 plagues. He's actually battling the sons of God, the gods of Egypt. And you have the crossing of the Red Sea. And this is south of Israel. So temporal, I mean, the proximity, geographical proximity is significant. These are two total solar eclipses in 2027 and 2034. So let's go back to the signs of Jonah. The signs of Jonah, we've got three solar eclipses in the United States. We have another solar eclipse over Nineveh that we've shown. And he goes into Nineveh and he preaches and he says, "You have 40 days or you will be overcome." The number 40 is significant. It's repeated throughout scripture.
Mm-hmm.
40 days, Nineveh is overthrown. Noah's flood, 40 days and 40 nights. Israel spied giants in Canaan for 40 days. Goliath taunted Saul's army for 40 days. Israelites are in the wilderness for 40 years. They're all related to possibly a testing period. They're all related to battling giants, battling the Nephilim. We've got a solar eclipse in 2027, and when you punch that into the date calculation, it's 40 months from 2024's eclipse.
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow.
And the distance between the two solar eclipses is 2 times 40, or 80 months.
Hmm.
One is in the Cancer, which means protection. That's the manger, God's protection. And one is in Pisces, next to the fish, which is upheld, which is, I read the verse earlier. It's, "Fear not, for he will uphold you in his righteous hand." I believe God is trying to say, persevere through this time of testing. He's going to hold us up. He's going to protect us. We just got to stay focused. And I just wanted to show this analysis here, which is, if you look at the names of the stars in Cancer, it's Northern Dark Donkey, Southern Donkey, Sheepfold, Holding, Shelter. It paints a picture of protection. And K.C. Fleming cites it, his possessions held secure. Jesus, the protector. And so the key takeaways here are, what did God desire of the Ninevites? He wanted them to repent through the sign of Jonah. He doesn't, in Revelation 12 and 13, he doesn't want us to worship the beast. Don't conform with the beast. Don't comply. We were made in his image, so protect the seed. Revelation 18, turn away from sorcery, turn away from pharmakia. Watch for the signs, look up. And he's coming back. He will cut the time short, as in Mark 13:20, or there'll be no flesh left. And do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy the bodies, both the soul and body in hell. So.
Wow.
Stop.
That's a lot. And it's telling us that, all of these things that we're seeing and we're talking about, and that we've talked about in your book, the signs of Jonah that we've talked about in the book, are all pertinent to what we're seeing today. And, end times eschatology is it's discussed by a lot of people, and there are a lot of different interpretations. But the bottom line is that, God's trying to tell the bottom line of this series, this four-part series that we are coming to a close here, is that God's trying to tell us to look up and not just look up to the stars and to the signs and that are in heaven, but look up to him and know that he's got it covered. We
Exactly.
need to read his word, follow the signs and seasons of the stars in the sky that he's put in motion for us to tell us a story. And be prepared by having your soul covered by the blood of Christ.
Exactly. Thank you.
Wow. Well, I'm hoping that you guys got as much out of this as what I did. I was really looking forward to this. I sort of tracked Ender down for a while to get him to agree to do this. I had an email for him that wasn't a real active email, and I kept trying to and finally I got him through his Substack, which is Ephesians 6:10, which I do you know off the top? You probably do. What is Ephesians 6:10, and why did you choose that for the name of your Substack?
Ephesians 6 is all about the armor of God, right? We battle not against flesh and blood. We battle against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers, and spiritual wickedness. And Ephesians 6:10 was about the strength and might of God. And that just gave me comfort as I was writing. I started writing in 2021 when at the heat of all this craziness in the world, and it gave me comfort and strength to get through it, and kept unpacking and praying, connecting the dots, looking at the Maseroth, and that's what brought me here. And thank you again, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, for all that you've done too. Thank you for this opportunity.
Well, I hope it's just a start, and I hope that people will go to Ephesians610.substack.com and sign up for your Substack and look at all the amazing things that you have on there, like videos and different things that you've written, because this is not a superficial study. I said at the beginning of this four-part series that this was going to be a little bit different than what we've talked about before, because this is a deep study into the signs of heaven that are there for that God put up there a long, long time ago. And so he's trying to show us in the ways that he can through his word and through the signs of heaven. So as we close out with our last four part of our series here, Ender, why don't you say a word of prayer and close us out here today and close us out for the series. And I hope that you've enjoyed this as much as I have.
Let's bow. Dear Lord, thank you so much again for this time of study. Thank you for the signs that you've shown us. Lord, we just bring it all to you. There's so much information here. We don't know if it's coincidence or we can apply math, but we don't know for sure. But through faith, through learning, we put it before you. Thank you for this time that we live in. Watch over our families, watch over all the things that we have, that you, the gifts you've given us, the spiritual gifts, may we use them for your glory. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Lord. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Psalm 111:10. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. And thank you so much for joining us for these last 4 weeks. We'll have another 4 weeks coming up starting in April. And you'll be surprised at the wonders that we find in the Word of God. So I want to thank you. And we can go find your Substack and sign up there. We can get your books either there or on Amazon. I really encourage everybody to go to your Substack though, and for the signs of Jonah. for the book that we've been studying the last 4 weeks. He has created a really cool little trailer video that's right in the middle of the page about the book, and it's really inspirational. And I hope that everybody listening to this will take this to heart and will follow you on your Substack and join your Substack and support the work that you do, because this is just the beginning. You've already got two other books out there that have talked about these things. And why don't you just name them briefly and tell us what they're about and about the fourth book that you're working on right now?
Sure. The first book I started writing was on the sixth seal, and it was just correlating all the eclipses, meteor showers, northern lights, and seismic activity that seemed to be lining up. And then the covenant signs was the conjunctions or the planetary conjunctions that, using Chinese bamboo annals and annals of the world, pinpointing these dates, looking at them in the stars, and actually telling a story arc of God's story. And it's very fascinating. It builds and adds weight to the signs of Jonah, which focuses on the solar eclipses. I'm looking at writing something on the signs of Emmanuel, which would be the birth, crucifixion, resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the signs that in heaven, pinpointing that to defend the faith, basically. And it's an apologetics book. And actually, after doing some of the research here, I'm thinking there's enough material I could probably pull together something on the four horsemen as well. So it's probably one that I'll work on after that.
Well, there's always another. Believe me, there's always another.
Yes.
Every time when you think you're like, you know, you've got all your words out and on paper, and there's always more. You know, I've done interviews with other pastors and authors that like have written like 30 some books, and it's like it blows my mind to think about all the work that went into that. So anyway, I want to thank everyone for joining us here tonight for this study and discussion of the Bible, and to praise God and to pray together. I'm both grateful and honored for all of you who've joined us here live. And for those of you who will listen to this in the future, it's forward facing. You can go to drtenpenny.substack.com, hover over the educational tab. You will see a tab that drops down, and look for the ones that says Bible series. And you'll see the series that we just completed last month with Brad Cummings and all the four parts of this series here. And for those of you who are Tenpenny Prime members, thank you so much. We're so grateful for your monthly support. And for those who haven't joined yet, go to shoptenpenny.net and hover over the membership tab and become a member. Thank you again so much. And with that, I want to close with one of my favorite verses from the Bible that I close all my podcasts with, whether it is live or pre-recorded, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, we'll see you here next week at the same place, same time. Have a great week, everyone. Goodbye and God bless.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out: Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com, and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.